Last night, candidates for office in the city of Troy in Rensselaer County gathered at School 12 in a forum arranged by the Troy Neighborhood Action Council, a group of citizen activists. Current City Council President Carmilla Montello and Rensselaer County Legislator Gary Pavlik are both running for the City Council President position. They answered questions posed to them from the audience by moderator Lisa Robert Lewis of the Albany Times-Union.
What is the most pressing issue in the city, and what are your plans for addressing this issue?
Well, there's a few pressing issues, and we have a minute, so just picture us talking really, really fast here, and I've just used up 45 seconds. Saying that when we came into office a year and a half ago, finances, we were facing a close to $2 million deficit. Myself and a couple of colleagues worked very, very hard to keep that 28% proposed tax down. More importantly, the City Council has really risen to the occasion, and I've worked very hard on financial reporting, on opening city government. We've also worked very hard with the Neighborhood Improvement Program by getting various grants to our neighborhoods to improve the quality of life. And then lastly, public safety. We all know it's a major issue. We were able to save the ERT team. We were able to save the SROs in our schools. But more importantly, we need to work with our police force, back our police force, and give them the support and the tools that they need to keep our neighborhoods safe.
Yes, what I hear from people out there is that zombie properties and negligent landlords is a huge problem here in Troy. Something they really, really need to work on. And, a lot of things that we can do. We've had a lot of good organization. We have good plans to do a lot of things for you. Getting owner-occupied properties is a big part of that. Getting people to buy into their community. It really helps settle the community, and people will buy into taking care of their properties. Expanding the tax base is another problem that we hear all the time. To ease the burden on taxpayers.
The next question, we'll start with Gary. Do you support the development at One Monument Square as it is currently proposed? If yes, why? If not, what changes would you like to see?
Well, I'm not sure what the current proposal is because the developers have taken it off the table. So we're not sure what their final development, their final plan is. But what I've seen out there from some folks here in town have proposed lifting the entire project up one floor, allowing retail property, retail stores on the basic floor level. That would continue the expansion of Troy downtown, so that people would feel like it was a continuous part of the city, and it would push back. It would allow more parking underneath, and we would also allow. I'd like to put the restaurant in the back of the. Back of the building with maybe some glass so that you could expose it to the river. I think it's as good as any plan. I just think that it needs to be responsive to the people and to the needs of the city and represent and reflect the city.
Yes, the City Council worked very hard to get a new RFP out, and you might recall there were two prior RFPs and they ended up going by the wayside. I voted to sell the property. Understand that was the very, very first step to get the cinema moving forward. The planning and the zoning board, as mentioned, I feel very, very passionately that this building needs to fit into our landscape, needs to be accessible to the waterfront, needs to be architecturally fitting with the landscape in the downtown. I've spoken to We Care About the Square folks, and they're very passionate. You should be aware, the council, the city right now was served with a lawsuit. So I'm not sure where this is going as we move forward, but I will tell you, the architectural drawings, the landscape, the drawings and the cinema needs to fit in with our landscape downtown.
Elements of your experience and background will be most beneficial to you in the elective office that you are seeking.
I think what I bring to the table and what I've done for the last year and a half is I've worked very hard to fight for the people of Troy. I've worked very hard when it comes to our tax base. I've worked very hard to create partnerships with our neighborhoods through the Neighborhood Improvement Program, which is a small grant program to improve the quality of life in our neighborhoods. I've worked very hard on several initiatives you might not have heard about with the mayor, whether it be our parking ticket amnesty program, where we found $2 million or $1 million that was not appropriated. Long story short, we were able to recoup some of that money. So seeing that, working on financial reporting, opening city government, becoming more transparent, and connecting with our neighborhoods, I bring that to the table. And working on our waterfront, we've worked very hard to try to create more accessibility.
A professor once said to me when I was active at SUNY Albany, he said, "You're one of those rare individuals that knows how to get things done." I thought it was a very good compliment, and I really appreciated it. That's my thing. I zero in on, I may not always be good at words, but I'm good at getting things done. I know how to accomplish things. So it took us, 4 years, Adam, to build the statue of the first mayor of Troy. We raised $85 million private money, and we got it erected. People thought we were Colonel Pauling? $85,000, sorry. I wish it was 80. Sorry. If it were $85 million, I'd donate to the city, believe me. I've been very active in Troy. Neighborhoods, my neighborhood association. I'm on a Little Italy Quality of Life Committee, trying to improve there. I've also tried to improve my house. I've gone green. I have solar panels on my house, 23 solar panels, so I have clean energy.
What are your plans to increase the manning of the officers on the street, and what are you going to do to ensure that officers hired live in the city of Troy?
I think we can assist in helping officers live in Troy by Syracuse had a great program. I think we need to look at other cities for best practices. And Syracuse has a wonderful program. They offer the vacant homes to officers, and they help them buy and get hold their mortgage or whatever they do to help them get a lower interest rate and to be able to buy into the city where they live. So we can look at those kinds of things. We can see what Syracuse did and what other cities do. And I think that'll help an awful lot. I spoke to one officer who felt that he didn't want to live in the city because he felt like if you arrest somebody, then they think whatever. They're a little afraid of it. But I think that we can get overcome that fear and get people to live and to buy in Detroit. I think it would help. I always feel more comfortable when people buy into the community, when they're part of the community, when they live here, including teachers, firemen, and policemen.
First and foremost, one of the things that we need to do is boost the morale in our city police force. And how do we do that? We need a contract. The contract has been expired for 4 years. What else do we need to do? We need to provide our police force the tools, the morale, and the backing, the support. We've talked about body cams. They prefer body cams over dash cams. That's something that's great for our neighborhoods and for the police force. We need body cams. Gilderland just did it. And stating that our police force park, walk, and talk. I've talked about this in the past. Chief Tedisco, George Van Bramer have actually implemented that in various neighborhoods, and we've seen our police force become more of a partner with the community. So my whole thing, we need to resolve the contracts, we need to move forward, and we need to support our police force because we are losing them to other municipalities and the state police.
What is the mayor doing well? Where do you think there is room for improvement, and how could you assist him in improving in this area?
A couple things. When we talk about the mayor and the council, we have to remember, and when I came on board a year and a half ago, I'll tell you, the branches of government, the executive branch and the legislative branch, were one. We've worked very, very hard, and I've worked very, very hard to establish a separation of powers. The people of Troy vote the legislative branch in to be those checks and balances. We've worked very, very hard over the last year and a half to be those checks and balances. We've worked hand in hand with the mayor on better financial reporting, getting our reports to the state comptroller in a timely fashion. We've worked very hard on creating new revenues, whether it be the parking ticket amnesty. The council has also asked the mayor, who has a seat at the table with our higher education institutions, about a public safety fee, because we're over 50% property tax exemption. So saying that we need to be those checks and balances, and we may not always agree, but in the end, look where our finances are today compared to 4 years ago.
Well, I believe in fact-based budgeting that the mayor has gone to. Unfortunately, the city owes a lot of money because many years, other administrations have kicked the can down the road. You know, we're about $50 million in debt. We have to make that up some way. You know, other people didn't want to address these issues. Unfortunately, thankfully, the man that is now our mayor decided to stand up and take responsibility. He put his big boy pants on, and he acted like the adult in the room. So I'm so glad that he did, and I'm going to support him in any way that I can with fact-based budgeting. I'm going to meet with the mayor on a regular basis on behalf of the citizens. I hear things out there. You know, people tell me, you know, going door to door, people, I hear things. People have concerns and issues they'd like addressed. So I'm going to use that opportunity to tell the mayor exactly how the citizens are feeling. And I think it's important to have that that open communications with the mayor on behalf of the citizens. I will represent the citizens, and I will work with the mayor as well.
What is the future of the pools in Troy, and how do we pay for them?
Again, people have let the pools go for too many years. You know that it's going to take $2-3 million to fix the two pools that we have. We don't have that in the budget. People have let these pools deteriorate for the past 30 years. Nobody's really addressed them. They leak like a sieve, you can't imagine. The filters are so crazy broken that the filter could break at any minute and suck kids down into it, and they would die instantly. That's why the mayor couldn't open the pools this year. You wouldn't send your kids, I wouldn't send my kids if I had any, and I don't know anybody who would. We really need to find a way to address it. We need to decide if we're going to build a pool or not. And if we're going to have one, there's other means that we can do. We can set up parks and other spray pools for the kids all over the city, and maybe more kids will help that way. There are only 200 kids that avail themselves of the pools every summer. Last summer, there were 200 kids when it was open. This summer, there were many more kids that availed themselves of the summer program. So I think we need to take a different approach.
This issue is near and dear to my heart. I do have to correct my opponent. It's not 200 kids. That's 200 every day. The same kids, the same adults, do not swim those pools every day. So it's more than 200 kids a day. More importantly, our city pools, we knew, and as my opponent just mentioned, the city knew that they were putting Band-Aids on our pools, whether it be Berg or South Troy. When they found out that they were putting Band-Aids, this didn't happen overnight, folks. So saying that last year when the pools were opened, they should have put together a short-term and a long-term plan. And believe me, we could have opened one of the pools with a short-term and a long-term plan. One of those pools could have been open. Moving forward, I know that the city has applied for funds to do a study in terms of not an engineering study, but a citywide study on all of our parks, including the pools. But we need short-term and long-term plans. And the administration knew last year that those pools were Band-Aids were being put on, and certainly could have opened one of the pools this year.
How do you plan to address the city's aging infrastructure?
Like many municipalities across the Northeast, the city of Troy is no exception to our aging infrastructure. I've worked very hard with the mayor, actually, and the city council, and we unanimously passed an EFC grant, that's an Environmental Facilities Corp grant, if you recall, the main drain down in Lansingburg that busted last winter. We were able to get funds from the state to repair that grant. Additionally, there's another program called SWAP, which is a state, it's kind of like CHIPS funding, but it would be for our water and sewer infrastructure. we will work very closely with our state legislature to implement that program. There's actually a state law right now that is hopefully moving through to provide more funds to municipalities like Troy. But saying that, over the past year and a half, we've supported various grant applications with Chris Whalen and Public Utilities to provide them the funds that they need to try to repair our infrastructure. We have to ask for more federal and state monies. It's not going to happen with your tax dollars only on the local level.
Yeah, I understand that just to correct the, to replace all of our water pipes, it would be about $50 million for the city. Obviously, we don't have those kinds of money, that kind of money. So I keep playing the lottery, hoping that I win so I can contribute, so I can donate the money to the city, but I haven't hit yet, so I'm sorry. I keep working on it. But other than that, we have to keep lobbying the city government, I mean the state government and the federal government for money that's available to us, along with all the other upstate and northeast cities that are having the same problem that we are. So we keep looking for money. We can keep looking for grant money as well. That always helps. There is grant money out there, and we'll emphasize that as well. Just looking for money any way we can get a hold of it, but it has to be addressed, and we're not alone, and we'll just partner with other cities to lobby on behalf of the citizens of Troy.
That was Gary Pavlik and Carmela Mantello, candidates for president of the Troy City Council this fall, speaking last night at a forum arranged by the Troy Neighborhood Action Council. To hear the complete recording, visit Media Sanctuary on Facebook.